Next guest has written a book about the Minnesota Vikings. In fact, specifically the 1969 Minnesota Vikings, and known Pat a long time from the Argus Leader, Pat Duncan. Hey, Pat, welcome welcome to the program.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Good.
Jinx, buy me a Coke.
Yeah,
you both said how's it going at the same time.
Great story. You had in the paper the other day talking about that book that you wrote, Last Kings of the Old NFL. You've been a Vikings fan your whole life, haven't you, Pat?
Well, certainly back to 1969. So that's why I chose that year to write about, because as a 9-year-old, it made quite an impression, as a lot of things do when you're 9 years old. And it kind of said, this is the way a football team should be, and at least a Vikings team. And so that's why I decided I wanted to write about them.
So being a 9-year-old and you're going back and recollecting that season, what kind of work goes into going back and writing about a season that you hadn't even become a teenager yet?
I thought I knew quite a bit about that season, and I guess I knew a lot of the numbers. But you start reading, and I went through a microfilm for what were all 4 Twin Cities papers at the time. There were 2 in Minneapolis and 2 in St. Paul, afternoon and morning papers. And so I went through microfilm through about 4 or 5 different trips up to the Twin Cities to do that, to really flesh out the background about that season and get a little bit more behind the scores and the numbers and the results.
So that first day, you decided, okay, I'm going to start today in writing a book about the 69 Vikes. How did that first day go?
First day went about putting together the list of the players of that team, and then saying, I want to get in touch with as many of these players as possible, talk to as many as I can. And I knew it was going to be a process because it wasn't going to be easy to get a hold of some of them, and it might take some time even to get a few of them to agree. A couple of them, it was maybe a year later after I first talked to them when they agreed to talk. But eventually I was able to get 25 players from that team and more than 30 altogether who were of that era or played in the NFL around that time.
What was the biggest objection that you heard from players and people that were involved as to why they didn't want to talk or why they were reluctant to talk?
Nothing specific. There were a couple of players. One was Ed Rockman, who was a cornerback who was on the first year of the Vikings in 1961, but he was injured and missed that whole season. But he had been a starting quarterback and kind of lost his job to Bobby Bryant that season, and then regained it late in the season when Bryant was injured after nabbing 8 interceptions in the first 9 or 10 games of the season. Bryant was out the rest of the way, and so Shirachman came back on board. But when I first tried to talk to Ed, he wasn't sure that he said, oh, I don't know that I want to do this. And so I tried a year later, and he agreed to do it, and he was terrific. And that was the same way with John Henderson, who was a flanker, which is what they called one of the wide receiver positions, the split end being the other, is how they referred to them in those days. And John Henderson was the flanker, and he was just a little skeptical of what this was about and wasn't sure maybe that he wanted to talk about it, but once he did, he gave me some terrific stories.
I had a hard time interviewing Harmon Killebrew when he was in Sioux Falls a while back, and because he was a hero of mine. He enjoyed watching him play as a kid. Did you have one of those type of interviews where you had a hard time interviewing somebody because you know they may have been someone special that you followed as a Vikings fan?
Not necessarily in that way. However, I felt like I talked to Jim Marshall 2 different times, and I thought he was really key, because when I thought afterward, you know, that neither time did I really do my best in the interview with him. But I ended up with some really good stuff just the same. I just felt like I could have really done better in trying to get some things with him through this interview with a little sharper questions. But I found through talking to all these players that there were 3 people who, well, it really was a team, and their slogan was 40 for 60, 40 guys playing all out for 60 minutes, and how everybody contributes. And I wanted to reflect that by talking to as many of those players as possible, and not just the stars of the team, but that a couple who stood out with the other players were Jim Marshall and center Mick Tinglehoff. those guys are so respected by everybody else in the team. And it's a shame that neither one of those guys is in the Hall of Fame.
That slogan, by the way, didn't Joe Capp come up with that? Was it?
He did. At a banquet that year where he was going to be named the team's most valuable player, and he said, "I can't accept this trophy. There is no most valuable player in the Vikings. There are 40 most valuable players." And he left the trophy up there to great applause. Hmm.
By the way, Mick Tinglehoff, news today about Mick, that he is a finalist to maybe still get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that is terrific. And I think it would be very well deserved for a guy who 7 years in a row was all pro when the NFL had one guy be their center, and that was Mick Tinglehoff, 1964 through 70.
Yeah, never
and in 69, the year that I wrote about, he was named not only the best center in the league, but he won an award for the top blocker, regardless of position, in the NFL.
You know, Pat, since we're kind of casting a little bit wider net on a couple things, because the Vikings are 0-4 in Super Bowls, but I mean, they were so dominant in the NFC, and you mentioned Jim Marshall, Mick Tinglehoff, both not in the Hall of Fame as of yet. Is there almost a sense that the Vikings were kind of like the Buffalo Bills in the early 90s when they made it to four consecutive Super Bowls and lost, that they're almost underappreciated for how good they were for that time frame?
I think so, and I think it's part of there being a winner-take-all mentality in football that goes beyond baseball. We really appreciate the Atlanta Braves teams of the 1990s, even though they won only one World Series that came in a strike-shortened year. In football, I'm not sure that we have that appreciation for the team that comes in second place, and especially for a team that did it as often as the Vikings did. Now, I would say in those Super Bowls that three out of the four Super Bowls, the better team won, definitely. The one was in 69, where I think the Vikings matched up pretty well as far as talent with the Chiefs. I think they were pretty even teams. But that day, the Chiefs just played a much better game than the Vikings did.
One thing I didn't realize, and I was reading a little bit about it, where it was kind of a contrast of where the Vikings were at and where the Chiefs were at. The Chiefs, you know, were more about their impressive past, whereas the Vikings were more about the future. Kind of explain a little bit deeper about that.
Well, the Chiefs were really a pretty established team in the AFL, and they had been as successful as any. They had a lot of money with their owner, Lamar Hunt, and they had poured that into draft picks before there was one common draft. Each league would compete. They'd have their own draft, and then they'd each try to dangle money to sign the player they had drafted. And so there were players such as Bobby Bell, University of Minnesota player who's in the Hall of Fame, who signed with the Chiefs, even though he was also drafted by the Vikings. And talked about that a little bit before the chapter before the Super Bowl, about Bell talking about his decision and why he ended up going with the Chiefs at that time. But there were a lot of players like that the Chiefs were able to get, and I write that there's every reason to believe that the Chiefs, why wouldn't they have been just as good, if not better, than the Vikings? They had been around actually one more year than the Vikings. They had signed all these really good players, and there was no reason to think that the Vikings should be, by superiority of league, a better team than the Chiefs.
He's Pat Duncan. He's with the Argus Leader. The book is called The Last Kings of the Old NFL, talking about the 69 Minnesota Vikings. How'd you come up with the title, and what does the title mean?
Well, the title, I just took Kings out of Vikings, and it was the last year, I say the old NFL, because there were two leagues. I think a lot of younger fans don't even realize that this wasn't all one NFL. The American Football League had started in 1960, and they were very much competitors. And there was a sort of contrast between those two leagues in the style of play. The AFL tried a lot of things to catch attention. They were brash. Joe Namath was very representational of that, with the white shoes and a bit boastful, while the NFL was still played about the way that it was in 1969. And it was black, John Unitas, high tops, and it was a different, sort of league. You know, they were more conservative in the NFL. The AFL was trying to be more colorful, and so I think there was a great contrast that really culminated in 1969 being the last year that those two leagues existed before Monday Night Football, before artificial turf became so widespread, before the game became such a corporate entity.
Where can folks get the book there, Mr. Duncan?
On Amazon.com. I'm going to be attempting in the weeks and months ahead to get it into bookstores as well. That's on me because it's self-published. But if you anybody who goes to Amazon.com and you search for Minnesota Vikings 1969 or Last Kings of the Old NFL, you should be able to find it through that search. And next week, the more reasonably priced version will go become available. There's one that's already available that has a lot of color photos inside, and the cost of those color photos pushes the price up a little bit.
Just a little.
Pushes the price up a lot, I should say.
Yeah, but we want color photos in our book.
You would think maybe there weren't color photos in 1969, but I found a few. However, there will be a version that will be available next week that has all black and white photos inside, and that's much more reasonably priced. But okay. I won't discourage anybody who wants to buy the version with the color photos.
Nice. Well, I'm just wondering, and I'm putting my money on you, Mr. Duncan, that I know that Stu Whitney's also written a book back in the old days, a few years back. Yeah, he's written a book, too. And I'm thinking you will sell more than Stu Whitney, what he sold.
I have a copy of Stu's book, and I think I don't know if I'm alone in that company in Sioux Falls. I'm not sure if Stu has a copy of his old book anymore.
Good stuff. It's all about the Vikings of 1969. Get out there, get the book. Pat, great job on it. And, hey, we'll see you again soon.
Okay, thank you, guys.
You got her, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Pat Duncan from the Argus Leader.